2023 was, for many, the year of climate reckoning. This summer was not only the hottest on record, but over the past few months, we've also seen massive forest fires with far-reaching effects on air quality, historic floodings, and severe droughts, all of which have been exacerbated by climate change. And no corner of the globe is immune. This situation is, unfortunately, not surprising, as researchers have been warning about the possibility of extreme climate-related events for decades. And there is no denying that our health and our survival will be impacted by climate. Partly because of their complex and multidisciplinary nature, unraveling the mechanistic underpinnings and the biology for how extreme heat and other climate effects affect our bodies will take some work, and it will require collaborative effort across disciplines. In order to help address these knowledge gaps and to encourage dialogue on finding solutions, in July, we published a series of reviews and commentaries on this very topic of climate health mechanisms, and we encourage you to check it out. And today, to discuss this problem from the perspective of research support, we've invited Dr. Alan Dangor, who is the recently appointed Director of Climate and Health at the Wellcome Trust. I really enjoyed hearing from him and talking with him, and I hope you will enjoy the podcast today. Welcome, Alan, to our podcast. So some of the questions that we identified for this series were heat exposure, allergies, air quality, infectious diseases, and flooding. And in one sense, it was hard to know where to begin, given the multiple ways in which a changing climate intersects with human health. But as a translational research journal, these were some of the areas that seemed most amenable to begin a dialogue with our readers. Do you want to comment on these topics? Are these also ones that you would consider a priority for health research?
Thanks very much, Julie. I think it's a really interesting set of papers. And as you say, it covers a lovely range of topics. And that what's available to research is really quite broad. And we're really, really only just now discovering what kind of research we can do, what areas are important, and new areas are popping up all the time. So what you've chosen, what the series does, is it covers some really key topics on the direct impact of climate change on health, so the work on heat, some of the indirect impacts via, ecosystems, so the work on infectious diseases and allergens. It's a great set of papers. I suppose, there are many questions that we could ask. We could ask questions about extreme weather events, the impacts of those on health. We could ask questions about the impact of climate change on the food system and what that will do to health. We can ask questions about mental health. There's increasingly concern that we really don't have a good understanding of the impacts of climate change on mental health. And then, of course, there are those broader questions about how climate change is going to affect society. So the breakdown of communities, migration and conflict. And those are really big questions. They also have health impacts. So there's a question really about what it is we're trying to do and what sort of research it's necessary to conduct. There's a very interesting question about the biology of climate change. And I note from the series that many of the questions you've asked and many of the papers that have been published have a very strong basic science biological focus. And those are really, really important papers because we do need to know how climate change is going to affect our biology, how climate change is going to have impacts on our broader health outcomes. There is, however, another set of questions we could be asking, which is about how we respond. How do we respond? Once we have this piece of knowledge, what do we do with it? And I think that is an area that currently is not in the series, but may well be an area you want to start working on more in the future.
So climate health has been a priority for the Wellcome Trust for a while now, but this climate and health section you're leading was created relatively recently. Can you tell us a little bit about why this role was created?
Yeah, fantastic. So, I'm very fortunate. A lot of hard work was done by a lot of people at Wellcome, at the Wellcome Trust before I started. I started in January 2022. And in the 2 years before that, there had been a review of the sort of research that Wellcome was funding. This review basically uncovered that Wellcome was funding a very broad range of research using a multitude of different approaches. And the leadership at Wellcome decided that that wasn't a hugely sensible approach, and it would be much better to focus on a smaller number of topics and use a clearer range and a more concise range of approach. And so the new strategy at Wellcome has four main strategic areas. The first is discovery research, which is curiosity-driven science, really to help us understand the fundamentals of health. And then the next important area, which is an area that Wellcome has a long history on, is infectious diseases. And in the infectious disease area, the focus is really on understanding the sources and drivers of escalating infectious diseases and the production of new treatments, vaccines or others, that are able to be delivered equitably. The third area is mental health, and the focus there is on on three particular mental health issues: depression, anxiety, and psychosis. And there, the focus is to be able to identify early and to respond to resolve those conditions. And then the fourth area is the one I lead, on climate and health. And there was previously work at Wellcome on the links between climate change and health. I mean, it was a relatively small program. I mean, it was the biggest of its time, but relatively small. And under the strategic review, it was decided that the link between climate change and health, the really existential questions about our survival on this planet, were one that Wellcome should absolutely lean into and devote a considerable resource to stimulating a field of researchers and asking those really, really critical questions.
We tried to cover two perspectives with this series: those affecting mechanisms of action, the biology, as you mentioned, of climate on health, and then also on researchers who are designing mitigation and adaptation strategies. So is Wellcome funding both types of these projects, and what priority are you giving each of these?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're a research funder. And the vast majority of the spend on climate and health strategic area is on the production of high-quality research evidence. And that spans across understanding the impacts, and much of those impacts are going to be the biology, the physiological impacts of extreme heat, or other sort of really core basic biology questions. But we also recognize that it's really important to not only quantify the problem, but to help to identify the solutions. So we're working very hard on adaptations, understanding, for example, whether or not the adaptations that we currently have for exposure to chronic extreme heat, whether they work, whether they function in different settings, but then also understanding the benefits of mitigation. So there is a growing body of evidence that there are clear benefits to health of mitigation actions, greenhouse gas mitigation actions. So Wellcome, in the strategic area on climate and health, we're looking at both the understanding the physiological impacts and the biology of climate change, but then also starting to use that information to help us define the solutions. And clearly, the rate of change of climate change at the moment, the catastrophic impacts it's having already around the world, requires that whilst it's really useful and important to understand the biology, we also need to transition really quite quickly to generating the solutions that are going to protect the lives, especially of the most vulnerable people.
Could you share some of the most exciting initiatives that you have been working on at the Wellcome?
Yeah, so I'd really like to focus on two things, I suppose. One is we've done some really interesting work on understanding, so bringing together infectious disease modelers and climate modelers, so that we can generate early warning systems and generate higher quality projections of the likely impact of climate change on the distribution and abundance of vectors that carry diseases like malaria and dengue. And that's a really exciting piece of work, because what that does is, it brings people together in ways they haven't worked together before, but also it's really practical. You can provide an early warning system to a Ministry of Health to say there's going to be an outbreak of dengue, and then that information is hugely helpful for the Ministry of Health to start rolling out protective measures for its population. So that sort of work, it's really exciting that we funded that at scale, and we've got a large body of research that's underway now in that area. And another area that I'm excited about is on the physiology of chronic extreme heat, and with a particular focus on maternal and child health. And we're really just beginning to understand that area, because, of course, you can't really experiment on pregnant women or infants. You can't put them in a heat chamber. But nature is doing that for us. And so what we can do, and climate change is doing that for us, and so what we can do is we can measure the impacts of chronic extreme heat on pregnant women, on the fetus, on the newborn child, and have a look at the impacts of that on physiology and on long-term health outcomes. And that's a really, really exciting area of research, and is really going to open up some new areas. But actually, I'd just like to mention a third area that really excites me, and we get a lot of interest, a lot of questions about it, which is the link between climate change and mental health. And there is such a concern globally about the mental health impacts of climate change, whether it is in high-income countries, this thing called eco-anxiety. People are concerned, quite rightly concerned, about the way the environment is changing, and that's having a mental health impact. But similarly, in low and middle-income countries, where the environment has changed so much that it's not possible to farm or people have to move, that leads to all sorts of mental health problems as well. But we haven't ever really thought that through, and we're funding some really exciting research to have those conversations around the world to see what the impacts are of climate change on mental health.
Some of this exciting research, once it's completed, it's not always understood by individuals and policymakers. So do you have any suggestions on how to make that translation more efficient?
Yeah, so this is a clear focus for everything we do in the climate and health strategic area at Wellcome. I've made it very clear that I'm not particularly interested in academics who are just curiosity-driven academics in climate and health who want to write a nice paper in a very nice journal like yours and get it published. I'm interested in supporting researchers who understand the community need, who can conduct high-quality research, and who know how to get their evidence into use. So we are very focused on making sure that we fund researchers who have a clear pathway from the research question to the how that research evidence is going to be used. We know the sorts of policies that are going to be rolled out, and we know for climate change, and we know that at the moment there's nowhere near enough evidence on health in those policies. So our mission at Wellcome in the climate and health strategy is to put health at the heart of climate action. So we're very clearly generating the evidence that can be used, the health evidence that can be used to improve the quality and the impacts of the climate policies that are coming down the line. A really clear focus. And we do that by asking our researchers to think transdisciplinarily about their questions, the community, the research itself, the policy stakeholders, the policy makers, the advocates, the campaigners, all of those people come together in the sorts of research that we wish to fund.
So that concludes my questions. Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss with our readers?
I mean, it's a great privilege to be leading Wellcome's work on climate and health. And, you know, I'm a former academic. I had 20 very happy years at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. But I'm now in this position of significant responsibility to shape this field as it develops. And it's developing very fast. And you can see the interest from researchers, public health researchers, but, you know, biologists and epidemiologists and environmental scientists and all these people coming together because they recognize that this intersection between climate change and health is so important. So it's a privilege and it's a responsibility. And the scale of funding at Wellcome is also quite astonishing. So over the last year, we've spent more than £100 million on research on the links between climate change and health. And that sort of funding has never been seen before in this field. And what that sort of funding is doing is it's also encouraging other funders, other philanthropies and governments also to recognize the importance of this field and to have funding of their own for research and policy. And the other really exciting thing about Wellcome is that it's not just a research funder. We also have fantastic teams of experts working on policy, government relations, strategic partnerships, campaigns, advocacy, media. And it's therefore, you know, what we can do then is we can elevate and we can use our research evidence to campaign and advocate for the change we want. I've just come back from the African Climate Summit in Nairobi, where that's exactly what we were doing. We were going to be there to talk to very, very senior policymakers about the research evidence that we're generating and others are generating about the links between climate change and health and the need for that evidence to be used to shape climate policies. So again, putting health absolutely at the heart of climate action.
It's a great way to wrap up. Thank you so much, Alan.